Hello, and welcome to Season 3 of the Dialogue on Dialogue podcast. I am still your host, Phil Recheck. In this season, I'm doing something a little different. I'm trying to become a better public speaker by writing and recording a new speech every day for 30 days and posting it to YouTube. This is the audio version of that attempt that I'm calling a Speak 30 Challenge. But as always, I'm trying to make the world a better place, one conversation at a time. Hello, and welcome to the Speak 30 Challenge. Today is day 27, and I call this one a day in the life. I had a busy day today. For my speech today, I'm going to give you a full recap of the day's events. And I started writing this in the morning, and so I didn't really know how everything was going to go, but everything went really well, and I was able to go through the day with a little bit more presence of mind because I knew I was going to give a speech about this. And hopefully I was able to accomplish that and have some real meaningful conversations. Here is my day. The day officially started, well, unofficially, at 3:30 in the morning, with me waking up and not being able to get back to sleep. Surprise, surprise. During that time, I worried about the end of a long weekend and having to go back to work tomorrow, getting everyone where they needed to go today, needing to say all the goodbyes that needed to be said, and how I was going to make the damn sweet potatoes that I have to make. Oh, and of course, my impending mortality, you know, all of those things, the usual 3:30 in the morning things. I did fall back asleep. Piper woke me up at 6:10 a.m., pretty much right on schedule. I was then off to the races this morning to get bread in the oven, to bring over to Tutu's for brunch, and then also get going on that sweet potato casserole. I figured out, actually, at 3:30 in the morning, because I was still deciding that I was going to use our Instant Pot to make the sweet potato casserole, because last year our slow cooker broke, and I'd always made this recipe in the slow cooker. And I was able to start it here, cook it for 90 minutes, and then finish it when I got to April's brother for Thanksgiving. After this, I got dressed, walked the dogs, and most importantly, made sure the kids were moving so that we could get out of the house by 8:30 to get to Tutu and Larry's by 10. My kids today were fantastic in terms of being where they needed to be, not needing to be yelled at or let's get going. So maybe they're growing up. I don't know. But I was very thankful for that. Because Josie needed to get back a little bit earlier than everyone else, well, because then April and I did, for her boyfriend's birthday, we ended up taking two cars to Minneapolis. And this actually is a bit of an upside. I realize it's wasteful, but that means there was the kids' car and April and I were in a car. And that also means that April and I can listen to podcasts that we want to listen to without anybody wanting to gain control of the radio or stop for food or any of that. And so we were able to drive in relative peace to my mom's. On the way, we actually listened to a podcast about marriage. And it was a good podcast. It started out with a woman. She was a historian, and she talked about the changing role of marriage over the last several hundred years. From one that was really designed to increase the couple coming together and to produce children and food so that hopefully they would survive, to now our modern view that marriage is about romantic love. The second person they had on this podcast was a social psychologist, and he talked about how marriage in the modern sense is really difficult Because this person that you marry, this is the one, they need to be helpful and help provide for the family. You need to be romantically attracted to them throughout the course of your marriage. But now it's almost that we are expecting our partner to help us achieve our idealized self, and then we are supposed to be doing that for the other. This best self is a really high bar to set. And for a single person, it may not be achievable. Or at least not with a lot of honest communication and hard work. At least that's what this gentleman was describing. We got to my mom's house, and she lives near the airport by Minneapolis, around 10 a.m. for brunch. Ever since my oldest sister had kids, and she was the first on my side of the family to have kids, my mom has been called Tutu, which is Hawaiian for grandmother. My sister and her family live in Hawaii. Now, my dad died in 2001, and a couple years ago, my mom remarried to another widower by the name of Larry. Very nice guy. Brunch was nice. My mom always puts out too much food. But the food she puts out is fantastic because it's the same really good food that you had the last time there was a brunch. There are only so many things on the menu, and they're always, or almost always, predictable in a very yummy way. We had scrambled eggs, sausage, and of course, cheesy potatoes. It was a nice time for Tutu to spend with her grandkids, especially Sam, who she hasn't seen in, 6-8 months. And we stayed there till 11:30. And then it was time to head over to finish eating so that we could head over to eat, I guess, for what was, I believe, at least our third Thanksgiving in the last week at April's brother, Mitch, and his family. All of April's siblings, spouses, nieces, nephews, they were there. Now, Mitch and Aaron live in a ginormous house in a wealthy area of Edina, Minnesota. They have four kids, one of whom has Rett syndrome, which is kind of a disease that manifests itself similar to maybe Down syndrome, if you're not familiar with that. And she requires, lifelong care. But it's always good to come together as a family. And while we were waiting for dinner, April and I went for a walk around their neighborhood with their fifth grader, Lucas. And it was really nice of him, to agree to go walking with his aunt and uncle around the neighborhood. He's a sweet kid, and it was a nice walk to have him tell us a little bit about what's going on in his life, his fifth grade life. And I really am grateful for that. Another thing I was grateful for is April's brother, Mitch, who is the CFO of a regional bank. He kindly gave the full story to Sam about a long and ongoing complex legal problem that his company is currently going through. And I really think Sam appreciated hearing this. I think Mitch was always glad to have somebody to tell these stories to, because Sam was able to then make some connections between things that he's learning in the classroom and things that are happening in the corporate world. So that was kind of cool. Dinner consisted of copious amounts of food, including all of the Thanksgiving favorites. Mitch also made a delicious ham. Everybody who comes to these events, they bring their own signature, special, well-known dish, like Sarah's buns or Carla's pumpkin bars. And of course, I am stuck with the sweet potato casserole. All in all, dinner was a big success. But because you end up eating so much food at these events, afterwards, you don't really want to talk to people. You just want to go curl up on the couch and turn on the Hallmark Channel and maybe watch a little bit of a Christmas movie. And that maybe did happen for me. We had to leave by 3:45 to get Sam to the airport. Now, in hindsight, we could have left a lot earlier because I was expecting this mad rush with cars and long lines and waiting in security, but all in all, it wasn't nearly that bad. It was interesting, though. I was kind of thinking about how the airport has the drop-off process for departures at Minneapolis Airport. It doesn't lend itself to long emotion-filled goodbyes. It's almost impossible to have a drawn-out, emotion-filled goodbye when you're double parked or triple parked and a cop is just waving you over, telling you to move along before they give you a ticket. Anyway, we got Sam dropped off, and then from there we went and dropped Bernie off at the University of Minnesota. At least there we were able to park, help her carry in her stuff, and give her a proper goodbye. On the bright side, we're going to see our kids again soon. The drive home actually went really fast because April and I were listening to another podcast where where the host interviewed a bunch of different speakers on issues related to cancel culture in society. And this was actually a good segue back into our jobs, and we got home back to our normal life in our quiet house filled with order and predictability now that all the kids were gone. But here we are, here I am now. And on the bright side, like I said, we will see our family again soon. We'll all be reunited at Christmas, and that's just a few weeks away. And as much as I ate today, I probably won't need to eat again until Christmas. Have a great day. Thank you.